Welcome to AIJ Cast, a podcast featuring conversations and performances at the intersection of art, inspiration, and justice. I'm your host, Mark Dame Sanders. On this episode, part two of our conversation with Gary Ware. Gary is a strategic play consultant, and he spoke with us from his home in San Diego. It's stirring up for me something that just came up in a workshop I did. It was a family's improv workshop talking about church work, which is my professional background, and had great pushback from one of the participants to the lesson of yes and in this current moment, and saying, what does yes and mean when you're dealing with injustice, when you're dealing with power, when you're dealing with entrenched power, when you're dealing with the very notion of truth is up for grabs these days. It's, you know, alternative facts. It's, I don't buy this, you know, science, whatever it is. What does yes and really do in that moment? Or is yes and ultimately harmful? And it's a legit question. And it's one that I'm kind of in the middle of struggling with at the moment, because one thing that I hear is you talk about your business partner. It wasn't a reciprocal relationship of yes and. It was yes and from one side. It was joy from one side. And the other side was saying, well, but there's these different metrics. I'm curious if I'm reading that situation accurately on your background, but also I'm curious if you have any thoughts about this notion of yes and in the midst of this current moment, which really isn't new. It's just stark.
Because when we're learning improv from the beginning, you know, we say yes and. It means that we say yes to the things that are presented right to us, and we build on it.
Right.
And in the beginning, when we're telling improvisers that, we want them to say yes. We literally want them to say yes, because we have been conditioned to say no to most things.
It's a very literal
yes
approach to it.
And then as we mature as improvisers, we learn the true meaning of yes and, which is acceptance and build. And it doesn't mean that you like it.
Right.
I did not like the fact that I was let go from the company that I helped build. I didn't like it at all. I had to accept that reality, and I had to build on that. And so that's my interpretation of yes and, is more of an acceptance of reality and build. You know, in improv, we say, bring a brick, not a cathedral. And so what is one thing that you can contribute?
Right.
You know, improvisers sometimes get the rough rap of being overly positive, like that, you know, toxic positivity.
Right.
And when you are positive, it helps you to make progress better than if you're negative. However, it's important to acknowledge what is going on.
Right.
For example, like, we had a global pandemic, and there were a lot of things in the last 15 or so months, a lot of things that were not happy-go-lucky.
Right.
However, I had to acknowledge that that is the reality.
Right.
In an improv scene, you know, your scene partner may say something that you may not have been expecting. However, that is the reality.
Right.
That is the offer. That is what they're putting out. And how can you build on that? And so that's my sort of interpretation of yes and it's not always positive, but it's just being real in the moment.
Yeah, there's not a denial with it. I think that's the point. I mean, we talk about that word about denying your partner. So the reality is that there is injustice. Saying yes to injustice doesn't mean we say, yay, injustice.
Yeah, right.
It means we accept the reality of injustice, and we work in the midst of that in order to build something better, like you said. So it might actually be saying no to the situation in a very literal way in order to create something new.
Exactly. And I love how you mention we are not denying.
Yeah.
Because when you deny, you state that that didn't happen. You know, in an improv scene, it takes a lot of maturity as an improviser to really get this. When I'm teaching the lower levels, we always say, go see shows, and then let's talk about it. And the first thing that comes up is they will bring example after example where someone will say literal no, and they said, I thought we're supposed to say yes and, and we unpack it. And I explained, did they deny the reality of the scene? Did they deny their scene partner?
Right.
Like, no, they didn't.
Right.
They acknowledged what happened, and they said a no on their way of building and furthering the story. And so sometimes you have to say no on your way to that bigger yes. And that means acknowledging what is the truth to you in this moment, or what is the reality. And as someone who is an improviser, again, improvisers are ultimately, they can be the most nicest people that you ever meet. Mm-hmm. However, you can overstay your welcome because they want to support you. They ultimately, like, it's in the DNA of ensemble. And so I tell people, if you have improviser friends, please do not take advantage of them, because they will ultimately want to help you. And so I teach people of accepting the reality, and sometimes you have to say no on your way to that bigger yes. And I, you know, during this, you know, pandemic when everything shut down, and I was like, all right, you know, what's the opportunity here? You know, what's the offer? Mm-hmm. I started doing these collaborations. I started saying, all right, cool, let's, all of the things I had booked got canceled. Right. So I had a little bit more time on my hands. Right. And then I quickly got busy doing these things. And then I had to realize, all right, well, what is the bigger mission here? What are we trying to do? And that did require me to say no, so that I can continue to say yes to something else and build.
Yeah. And I also often talk about it as that yes without the mutuality, that's abuse.
Agreed.
So if you're saying yes to everything without any sense of self, that's problematic, especially if the other person isn't affirming you. There's the story of Del Close and Joan Rivers on stage together in the early days of Second City. And Joan Rivers comes out and says, I want a divorce. Well, that's a negative beginning, but it's still a reality. You can say yes to that. And Del Close says, honey, what about the kids? And Joan Rivers says, you moron, we don't have any kids. And she got this big laugh, but the scene was over and Del Close couldn't trust her anymore.
Agreed.
There was no mutuality. He yes. said, okay, this reality, we are husband, wife, we're getting divorced, and I'm going to say yes to that. And then she turns around and says no, and breaks that trust. It's not mutual.
It's not.
And you've played with improvisers who, it's all about getting the laugh. It's not about building the better scene.
Yep.
And they're very, and what I say is they're not great improvisers. They're good at improvisation. Those are two very different things, I think.
Yes. That is so true. And thank you for bringing that up, because going back to theatrical improv, mm-hmm. that is something that is one of the biggest things to break.
Mm-hmm.
Often at the theater that I work at, we get people that, you know, love doing sketches. They love stand-up comedy, and they want to take an improv class so that they can think on their feet. Again, you know, right. going back to just what you said before, like being funny, being, you know, random and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they said, well, we got the laugh. And then I'll say, well, guess what? What about the story?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you deny the reality of the scene, you may get a laugh, because if, again, if you break down the science of humor, people laugh at things that are random, yeah. unexpected. However, the story ends at that point.
Right.
You can't further the story. Now right. you're at odds.
I think the best game to illustrate this point, I'd love if we could play it right now, is Word at a Time Story.
Yes.
Because one of the things that I'll see with new folk who are learning it is, rather than saying the thing that makes the most sense that would build the story, they say the thing that is random and weird and funny, and it gets the laugh. And then the story is just a hot mess. It doesn't go in. And so you're like, well, okay, you got to laugh, but what is the...
Yes.
So why don't we do a little Word at a Time Story just to illustrate it?
Let's do it.
We'll start with Once Upon a Time, like we always do. Once
upon
a
time,
there
was
a
man
named
Jake.
Jake
had
two
shoes.
One
was
red.
The
other
was
blue.
Jake
put
his
shoes
on
one
at
a
time.
When
he
left
the
house,
Jake
always
checked
his
pocket
for
his
key.
This
was
one
of
Jake's
habits.
One
day,
Jake
forgot
to
check
his
pocket
and
could
not
get
in
to
his
house
because
he
forgot
his
key.
So
Jake
broke
the
window
of
his
house
and
broke
the
frame
of
the
window.
So
now
Jake
doesn't
forget
to
bring
his
key.
Yay.
That was dope. That was so dope.
That was frighteningly mind-melding there.
Oh, my gosh. That gave me goosebumps. Like, seriously, What just happened there?
And let's talk about that, because there's research that has been done, I know, around musicians. I'm not sure about improvisers, but you would know more than me, around how musicians that are playing together, their brainwaves start to fall into sync together.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The science is there, and that fuels some of the work, that the theoretical work that is behind the work that you do. I would love to hear you talk about that.
There's been studies about musicians. There's studies about just play in general. Mm. Researcher Jane McGonigal, she wrote this amazing book called Super Better, about the science behind games and how it makes us more resilient and all these amazing other things. And she talked about, like, when you're playing a game, doesn't even matter the type of game, because you surrender everything to the rules of the game, you get in sync. And it's amazing the things that happen when you're playing games. And improv is a form of game. Music is a type of game. And when you're, especially when you're improvising. So to piggyback on what you're talking about as far as musicians, there's also a TED Talk on your brain on improvisation, jazz musicians.
And the fMRI machines that are the high resolution. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he had them play sheet music, and then he had them improvise. And he saw that when they were improvising, they were in that creative state.
It's a different part of the brain that lights up, that frontal lobe, which is our critical thinking mechanism, which serves a good purpose. But when you're improvising, it starts to shut down so that you're not filtering ideas that might lead to discovery, as opposed to, well, that's no good, that's dumb, et cetera. Yeah.
And I feel like that's what we were doing in that moment. What word at a time story?
Yeah.
We were truly getting into that creativity state.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it was not the most exciting story.
No.
But it still had its own thing. And the other thing was, we told a story that had coherence and it made sense to each other. We said the thing that was the most logical that was coming up next.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I have loved to do in playing that those games with groups is to kind of analyze who hated it when they got a small word. And the number of people raised their hand, like, I hated that I had to say the and of and to. And I love those moments. I relish the ability to just, like in volleyball, bump, set, spike. Like, this is the set. Here you go. I'm going to give you this so you can smash it over the net. But it's always, it's just such an interesting kind of group dynamics thing too, of like, okay, interesting. What does that say about you that you have to say a big word?
So improv and these activities, I like to say, are like tofu. They take on whatever taste that they're associated with. And so that one word at a time story, as played through theatrical improvisers, can tell a lot about performance and how they see the world of improv. That same game in the corporate world can tell a lot about a team and their dynamics and uncover so many things.
Gary Ware on AIJcast. We'll be back with more of our conversation in just a moment, but first, a quick word. As always, we want you to visit the AIJcast website, AIJcast.com. It's a great place to learn more about our artists and to get a look at their news, information, and products. We do have a link there to Gary's website, as well as a talk he gave at a TEDx event in San Diego. I also want to make sure that you know that Wild Goose Festival is planning on being in person again this year, September 2nd through 5th. Their protocols are in flux, of course, as so many are during this time of COVID. You can find out more information about this and so much more at our website, AIJcast.com. And now, back to more of our conversation with Gary Ware. There's a variation on that that I like to play where you can also do 1 to 3 words.
Yeah.
And that also begins to get interesting because you can tell the people that are there, just like, I just want to get through this. I don't want it. Just leave me alone. The other people are like, oh, good, I get more control here. And that's also about investment, right? So it's not just negative. It's also like, I get to have an impact on the story. So help me understand. We brought music in a little bit, but help me understand how this world of play is a bigger thing than just improvisation and how you bring that to bear on the folk that you work with through Breakthrough Play.
There's different forms of play. Growing up, the way people saw play is just, oh, it's things that kids do, right?
Right.
You know, and it could be sports or whatever, but a lot of times it was seen as goofing off and
we call it child's play, right?
Yeah, child's play, right?
Yeah.
Play is doing something for the sake of doing it.
Nice.
Where the act of doing it is better than whatever the rewards are. And once I discovered that and I started doing these workshops, I helped people realize, especially people that didn't think that they played growing up, because they only put play into like a few boxes, like sports or, and I remember working with this one gal She didn't think she played. She said, you know, she grew up with a very serious mom and, you know, play was not part of the agenda. And I asked her that question. Well, what did you do that time just flew by that you just enjoyed doing just for the sake of doing? And she said reading. She used to get lost in books. And I described to her, well, that's a form of play.
Right.
You're allowing yourself to be creative and take on these sort of personalities. And then I asked her the question. I said, how do you think that helped you as an adult?
Right.
And she took a moment and she said, no one's ever asked me that question before. And after just reflecting, she said, interesting. I am more creative than I give myself credit for. I love that I can sort of get lost into things. She's a big film buff now. So she went from reading books to watching movies. And she can now see that her career in finance, she's not just an analyst. She tells a lot of stories. She helps people craft stories to save, you know, for their future and stuff like that. And again, she didn't realize that. And so again, getting back to play, play helps us grow. A researcher, Karen Priebus, said that to create a new synapse in the brain, it takes about 400 to 420 repetitions. However, if you can incorporate play, this is the shocking thing. If you can incorporate play, you can get that down to 20.
What?
Serious.
Wow. I mean, that's an exponential difference, literally. 20 squared is 400.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
And that's why I like to say, I help people through what I call purposeful play. Is that this is play that has a very specific purpose. And so, again, like the whole tofu reference, depending on what your outcome is, we'll incorporate play as a way to accelerate that.
Nice.
So if you want to be a better public speaker, all right, let's play. Let's play our way to better public speaking.
Right.
You know, the things that really bring me joy is having people play their way to deeper connections or play their way to sanity or to rejuvenation. And that is the outcome. And like, all right, how can we incorporate playful methods as a means to getting that outcome?
That's lovely. I love that. Because I'm also thinking like we have this, and it's not bad, but there is this lens of utility that we ascribe to things. So I'm thinking about reading. Well, the reason you do reading is so that you have a bigger vocabulary. Well, that is an outcome of reading and voracious reading. And that's a good outcome. But if you're reading only for the expansive vocabulary, in a weird way, it reminds me of the wisdom of 12 steps and codependence. So follow me on this. This is a weird parallel here.
Please, yes.
But I think if I am getting healthy as someone who is in a codependent relationship in order to get my partner off of their addiction, then I'm not really helping myself. I'm helping them. I'm helping myself as a means to helping them. But if I really get healthy myself, independent of that addiction, that is more likely to have an impact on that addiction, but that's not the goal.
Yeah, agreed.
So play can have these utilitarian outcomes, but if that's the goal, then it's not truly play. It's holding back a little bit, right?
It is, yeah. And this is why it's some ebb and flow of... if we can get people to enjoy it for the sake of enjoying it, then they really get the benefit of it. Like, so for example, I love how you mentioned technical versus adaptive at the top of the show. There's an amazing book. It's called Primed to Perform.
Yeah.
And it's by Neil Dolce and Lindsay McGregor. And they talk about how you can get people to be the best version of themselves at work. And it's all through play, purpose, and potential. So if you see the work as play, as in, I love doing this for the sake of doing it.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You're going to get more out of people. They're going to be more adaptive because they want to keep the game going.
Right.
Compared to someone who is, well, I have to do this for this very specific outcome-based reason. Well, then you get into the very sort of technical, tactical, and you optimize for that. But then again, if something comes up, he's like, well, I only know how to do it this one way. Sorry. Or because you start to do what are called extrinsic motivators, money or the stick, you're not going to get the performance you want. And you might get some unethical behavior. Like, so for example, they in the book, they talked about cobra farms where in India, they had all these cobras that were taking over the land. And the government said, you know what? We will give money for all the cobras that you bring in, because they thought that was going to get rid of the cobras.
Right.
Well, guess what? People created farms to create to more cobras so that they could make money. Yeah. And then when the government realized that it wasn't working, they dropped the reward. And then as a result, people just, they let all the cobras go. So it was detrimental to the outcome.
Wow.
It's like surfing, where surfing is one of the few sports that you can master it, but like no two waves are the same.
So
like
you can, many variables.
No wave is the same. Yeah. And I like to say, going back to the chaos and the harmony, is that there's always going to be these competing elements. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember these things. And that's my sort of thing for myself of, yes, I'm using play as a way to do X, but I have to remember, just like what you said, if you go too far, then you get dependent on it.
Right.
And it doesn't serve the purpose. So then I have to remind myself, oh, yeah, what about the things to do just because of doing it? And again, mm-hmm. going back to my son and how I said earlier, he was the true teacher for me. Mm. This was something where I'm like, all right, you're the teacher, I'm the student, where, you know, he was like, all right, let's play. And I was like, all right, what are we going to play? I'm here to play. Let's play. And he's like, Dada, we just play. Like, let's just play. And I was like, wow.
You were waiting for the rules and the framework and right? the goal and the other stuff. And he's just like, just do it.
We're just here. We're just here to play. Now, granted, at the time, his play personality was the director.
Of course.
That he was very specific on how he likes to play.
Yeah, children are not very good at yes and.
They're not. They suck. And if you're an improviser and you have children, you should look up McSweeney's. They have a post about how children suck at improv. It is hilarious.
I would like to see that scene, actually, if we could do that real quick.
Please.
And then we'll get back to your son.
All right, yeah. All right,
so I'll be the parent.
All right, cool.
Jimmy, let's play.
Okay, Dada, we're just gonna play. You should already know how to do this.
Oh, okay. Look, the sun is out. Let's go run around in the yard.
Dada, hello. We play in the house right now. Right now. Here's the car.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, we're going to get to the race.
No, yeah, you're going too fast, Dada.
Slow down. Because this is a slow race. We're snails driving cars.
Oh, my gosh. Snails are stinky. Be something funner, Dad.
I love it. That's perfect. Yeah. Right. So back to your side. Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, so I was trying to respect his wishes. I was like, he loves to like sort of direct what we're doing. So in that one moment, I'm like, all right, you know what? Instead of trying to like sort of do that, I'm just going to just do that. And he like sort of flipped it on me. Like, now we're just going to play. I'm like, it's funny. He has these like genius moments and then he realizes he's a toddler and he goes back to toddlerness. And so like, sometimes he says the most profound things. Right. And then this happened just the other day. Like, I wonder what goes on in his brain. He like, we're sitting at the breakfast table and he looked at my wife and he said, Mama, why did you grow me in my tummy if I'm just going to die?
Gah.
And we just looked at each other. And then we were like, whoa, I guess it's time to have that talk. And like, so we like took a breath and we started talking about purpose. And well, you
mortality.
Know, some people are here.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And then he's like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Like that. It was gone. Like it was in and it was out. Like, so we like, all right, we're going to have
done.
Yeah. And he was just like, he was bored of it. We gave each other that look that parents give. Like, all right, we're going into this now. Here we go. We're being tested as parents. Right. And then we just like took a breath and we were like, oh yeah, you know, sometimes we have a purpose, this, that, and the other. And then he just went back to being a toddler. As quickly as it came, it was gone. And we were like, so.
Gary, if you had a word of advice for our listeners, maybe it's a wisdom well that you go to again and again, or maybe it's something that our conversation has sparked. What would it be?
The first thing that comes to mind for me is life supports that the supports life. And what I mean by that is that, yes, we're here for big things. And yes, you may have an agenda, but like if you can support life in some way, you know, maybe that is by helping someone out, it will come back to you. I'm not sure when, but it always does.
Gary Ware, thanks for being on AIJ Cast.
Marthane, thank you so much for having me.
Gary Ware on AIJcast. You can find him online at his website, breakthroughplay.com. On our next episode, musician and homeless advocate Tracy Woodard. AI JCast is made possible through the support of listeners like you. We are grateful to you for your support. It's what makes it possible for us to do this. So please do take just a moment and go to our website, AIJCast.com, and click on the link that says support. And we love to pal around with you on social media. We are there on all of the places where our handle is AIJCast. Our theme music comes from our house band, Mard Fane. And we are engineered, mixed, and produced by the one that we call the Game Master, Al Mudeef, who explains how he does his dishes by ordering his flatware around.
You get in sync.
And I'm your host, Martham Sanders, encouraging you, as always, to create some beauty of your own. And remember that the world isn't truly beautiful until it's beautiful for all. Until next time, I leave you with justice and peace.